Are we all in? Do we look okay? We have a mirror.
Makeup.
Literally.
Retouch on set. That took so long.
But we're here, kids. We're here.
Do we cheers?
We do cheers.
Let's get started. Okay.
But we're here. We made it.
We are rolling. Yes. We did it.
We did it, Duke. Cheers, friend. We are finally here.
We're doing it.
We are doing it. Cheers.
She needed that moment after really the morning we've been through.
Honey, she centered the palette. So.
She did center the palette.
Here we are. We're back. Okay. So, how are you, friend?
Oh my God. I'm so good.
Yes.
I'm so excited we're finally doing this.
I know. It has. We have been trying to do this, y'all.
Years.
I'm talking like pandemic.
Yeah. Like, we have a Google Doc that we have just been adding thoughts to for like a really long time and doing nothing with.
Absolutely nothing with it. Staring at it every now and then
just
and being like
at it.
Refreshing it. Like, remember this?
Someday we're going to do a podcast.
And someday is today.
Someday is today.
Oh my God, another cheers moment. Another cheers moment. Yes.
We don't have any little tables for our drinks.
It's all good. Sorry. That's coming in future episodes. Mm-hmm. So we're just getting started. This is our first moment.
This is Duke. Okay. We need to do like, we should do some introductions.
Okay. Perfection.
We should do some introductions. So, Isaiah.
Yes.
Tell me about you. Because wait, let me first say, we have known each other since...
Oh, gosh.
2008?
Really?
No.
I feel like it was before.
You're right. You're right. It was 2006. Okay, when was my neck injury was like in 2007.
Anyway, yeah, we met...
at Dash Center for the Arts on Hilltop in Tacoma.
And...
You were an up-and-coming choreographer.
Yes, and
You totally were.
I was
an up-and-coming dancer.
And it was, that was a moment.
It was a moment.
So much fun just meeting you, and oh my gosh, Roxy was there.
Roxy?
And wait, who else?
Ashley. I know.
Liz.
My heart. Liz was there.
Liz, love you, girl.
Bianca.
Bianca Jean.
Bianca was on, Key Ladies. Tiffany Simone.
Yes, Tiffany Simone.
Markayla.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I'm like picturing the photo of us with the little shorts and I'm like trying to go down the...
And Candy, of course.
Brie? Was Brie in there?
Anywho, we've known each other for a very long time. She was actually part of my first heels team ever.
I wasn't wearing them.
I wasn't wearing them at the time, but I was like, I want you guys to do it. So
yeah, you weren't, huh? You hadn't started your heels journey yet. No. Just choreography and heels.
Mm-hmm. Cute. I was just like, I just want this to be cute, whatever this is.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then we were just. Inseparable ever since. Like, we just have always been connected. And...
Except for when you were in China for 8 years.
Right, I know.
We were inseparable ever since, except when Isaiah left the country and just never came back.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it was like, I'm gonna come back. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're not coming back.
Yeah, but... I remember you kept being like, no, I think I'm gonna come back this year. And I was like, sure. I was like, just let me know when it happens.
That's literally was everyone's
But
response.
You'd come back every once in a while. You came back and you did a feature at my spring showcase.
Yes.
my kids' studio.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That was a fun time. I think it was, it was a Beyonce tune. But yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was a fun moment. Mm-hmm. And then you almost were coming out to China. And
yeah,
then...
I had a moment I almost got... Almost got out there,
and then it didn't happen. But, we're here, and I guess, I mean, oh my God, history. I don't even know where to begin.
Give me, like, your elevator pitch of your background.
Oh, right on the spot. We're right on the spot with this.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Like, if you have, like, 1 minute.
1 minute, okay.
Tell us about you. You can take longer than a minute. Lord knows I will.
So, my name is Isaiah Rashad. Uh-huh. I am a local and international choreographer, entertainer, model, dance teacher, student. Mm-hmm. Also, we can now put in their digital designer,
Yeah,
too.
Digital design.
Yes.
The ad whiz.
Yes, the ad whiz, yes. I grew up here in Seattle, born and raised. I was self-taught with dance first, watching all the Janet videos. Well, first, even before that, I was watching old In Living Color tapes. I don't even know if you know this, friend. So oh we didn't have cable growing
the
up.
Throwbacks.
We didn't have cable growing up, but my dad, for some reason, had all like In Living Color on VHS. Yes, VHS tapes, kids. And was just recorded every single episode of In Living Color. And of course, I loved In Living Color, but like I really loved it because I was loving the Fly Girls. And
of course,
I literally would replay each dance sequence and learned it till I was blue in the face. And at the time, was doing it backwards. I didn't know how to mirror yet. So I'm like, okay, that's her left. This is my right. We're going to just go with it.
Yeah.
And when I would face the other way, my grandma was like, well, you know, you're kind of the wrong way. And I'm like, no, I learned it this way. And it's like, yeah, but.
Because it would be playing in the background. Yes. And she'd be like, you're going opposite them. Oh my God, now your grandma calling you out. She's like, there's a thing called mirroring.
Literally.
Have you heard of it?
So that was like my first little lesson of like, okay, girl, you got to turn this around. But no, I would be watching those tapes over and over again. And then I, of course, Michael Jackson, you know, I feel like everyone says that. But for me, Thriller was more scary than more like inspiring for me at first. It was more remember the time for me and bad and like, just, woo, those were the eras for me. Also, gosh, I'm going off into a whole tangent now, but like.
I said 1 minute.
I know, literally 1 minute, and we're in 10 right now. Hint our voice notes.
That's okay. I mean, we're just, this will be like our intro, you know,
right,
podcast.
Right.
We can always elaborate more.
Right, literally. Well, long story short, born and raised in Seattle, grew up dancing, you know, at home first, and then got into karate after I did karate. My sensei, Coco Kabating at the time, was dancing at Westlake, and we had a karate talent show. And she was like, oh my gosh, do you like dance? Because I had danced to B2K for the talent show. And she was like, you should come and like dance at Westlake. And so
Right? Yeah.
So I ended up going. Westlake was really far at the time. I lived super, well, it's still far, but it was far for me then.
Yeah.
being in Northgate. And so I would get to go out every now and then. My aunt would take me and started taking with Robert Liu, my first teacher. And
oh, I didn't know Robert Liu was your first teacher.
He was my first hip-hop teacher at Westlake. And then it kind of grew from there. Trained with Carrie Lee, with Daniel, and Rex Kinney. I took some of his classes and just kind of like that whole era. And then, gosh, I feel like I'm just literally at the beginning. So I don't want to take too, because I'm literally at the beginning. Long story short, as I've said that three times already, grew up dancing in Seattle. I lived in LA for 3.5, 4 years. Got to work with some really fun artists, Rihanna, Chris Brown, Kelly Rowland, just to name a few. Soulja Boy, even though I was an extra in that video. Monica was actually my first video that I did.
I
was an extra in a courtroom, so I just sat there.
Yes, courtroom.
And Chad Ochocinco was like right in front of me. And so
Literally,
I was sitting there. But I got casted, so that was my first experience of being on set and stuff like that. And then after that, trained, did a bunch of carnivals and stuff, and then I moved to Asia, where I was for 8 years. And did a lot of fun projects there. I got to work on Just Dance. I taught dance there. So if you've ever played Just Dance, the video game, you've probably either played as me or played one of the games I've created. Was a club choreographer out there for one of the hottest clubs in Shanghai. I hate saying it like that.
I know, but it's true.
It's true, though.
It's true.
And that was literally what they went by. They're like, we're the hottest club in Shanghai. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go with it. So I started as a dancer, and then I ended up becoming the choreographer, and then was there for about 2.5 years. Then I moved to Beijing, where I got the chance to work with up-and-coming K-pop artists. So I worked for a company called M Academy that trained Chinese artists to becoming K-pop artists and got them prepared for television shows and things like that. And then after that, I moved home 6 months prior to pandemic. And
that's all it was, 6 months?
Yeah. I know.
Crazy.
I know.
Friend, you've done so much since you've been home. Like, you should be really proud of yourself.
In my brain,
you had, like, already been here and solidified, like, your student base and your following before the pandemic hit. But I'm realizing that it was, like, hit right after you came back.
Yeah, literally.
Because I felt like you were at Belltown with me for a lot longer. But it was just that 6 months.
It was just, like,
months.
Yeah. Oh, it was just... Well, I felt... No. Wasn't I at Belltown? like a year.
I feel like it was a year.
I feel like it was a year.
Okay.
6 months to a year. But I did move back. I moved back in 2019.
Okay.
So in March of 2019.
So the zero just waste time. It is 2019.
I'm dead. No, but yeah, I moved back.
I think, can't wait for 225.
Literally. Ew. Ew. I feel like I moved in March of 2019, and then I had that whole period.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then, so yeah, I think.
Interesting.
And you got me to Belltown like right away, which right away. Literally,
you were back in town, and I was like, so you're teaching this weekend?
No, literally, like getting back in town and getting on my feet again just to get reacclimated with the community, because like, you know, I had been gone for so long, didn't know any Seattle dancers, anything about the community anymore.
Yeah.
Kristen was a huge help with getting me back in the door with that, and I just really appreciate you for that.
Yeah, friend, always.
Oh, gosh. We'll go on in about that later, but you've been life-saving me for a while now, even during pandemic, girl. I was like, what am I going to do?
I'm like, here's what we're doing, okay?
She's like, are you teaching online?
Teaching online. We're making this shit work. Here's how to set up your Patreon. Let's go.
Girl, she got me in because I was freaking out, bro. But who wasn't?
So were all of us, right?
But yeah, that's like the short story long.
Yeah. Totally. Everything is always a short story long for me.
I know. Because I don't never know how to, like, I need to work on that, though. That's a good point.
I do, too.
I don't know how to encompass everything I've done in an elevator pitch, and that is something I think
I need to work on it, too. And also in casting, sometimes they'll be like, tell us, and they're literally always like, no more than 30 seconds.
Literally.
And I'm like 3.5 minutes in, and I'm like, and another thing I do in my free time is blah, blah, blah. And
just
I'm
the
like,
fade and like the new angle of you and the
my
fade
gosh.
And going back.
Like, I have to be better at being concise with my,
elevator. It's tough because, you want to make sure you hit points but don't miss anything,
right.
But also like, give your value
so that it's
not like, well, you're not really experienced. But I think the experience comes when you know how to do that right away.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, what about you? Let's dive into your history.
Okay, my history. So I grew up a little sheltered little baby. So sheltered. So my introduction to performance was really theater and like musical theater. I was just like, I had this tape called Broadway Kids.
Yes.
Do you know Broadway Kids? Or
I
no?
I don't
you just,
know Broadway
okay,
Kids.
Okay, I thought you were reacting because you knew it.
No,
okay.
But that sounds really cute.
It was this little cassette tape, and it was all these kids that were in New York that sang Broadway songs. And I was, so I grew up singing. Like, that was my main thing. I didn't grow up in dance lessons. My parents never not once put me in a dance class. But I loved to sing. And I sang in choirs, and I sang the national anthem growing up, like at sports games and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, so when I was a kid, I would listen to this Broadway Kids tape, and there was this one song.
Yes, Broadway Kids. I'm obsessed.
This one song called Born to Entertain.
Well.
And it's from the Broadway play Ruthless, which, guess who played this character that I was obsessed with singing her song on Broadway for a hot second? Britney Spears.
Stop.
Anyways.
Gold.
So.
And goals.
Yeah. Yeah. The song is basically like, some girls like to cook and sew. When I cook, it's in a show. She's just like, fuck regular life. Like, I am a performer. And
yes.
I identified with that so heavily. And I sang it in my fourth grade talent show. And everyone was like, oh my God. Like.
Yes.
Not to like. But that was my moment of like, holy shit,
this is
like
what I wanna
this
do.
Is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I want to entertain. I want to be on stage. And I always really wanted to dance, but my parents just like didn't let me. But I played sports and I sang. So I was like musical and I was coordinated. So anyways, fast forward, I had a dance team at my high school. We were called H2O, still called H2O.
H2O.
And the captain and like coach, they were from Westlake and they were dancing with you. It was Alicia. Okay, her name's Taylor now, but Alicia Wagner and Lisa Becker.
Yes. Becker.
You say that every time. Becker. Anyway, so remember them though? Becker. Alicia was older.
Yes.
She was like a year older
yes.
than you.
Yes, I do.
But they were on, I think, Breed.
Yes.
Together. Mm-hmm. And so Alicia started the dance team and Lisa was like the captain once Alicia left. And so I was kind of like being influenced by Westlake, even though I lived way out in Gig Harbor, like an hour and a half away from Westlake. But I like was plugged into it because of them.
Sure.
And so I kind of started to like hear about Daniel Cruz, about Jarrett Hughes, about you,
another hometown gem.
All of them. And I remember I went, Lisa was like, oh, I'm performing in the show. It's called Sign of the Times. And I think I was like 16 or something. I went by myself. I felt like I was driving for like 5 hours to get to Westlake. I was like, this is so far away. Oh my God. And I got there. I went to the show by myself. And I remember sitting in the back of Shorecrest Theater and being like, I have to do this. Like, I was just like, these are the coolest people I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I'm obsessed. So, anyways, then I went on to college. I ended up doing an internship. I was a communications and media major. So I ended up doing an internship for the Dash Center as their grant writer. So I like walked into the Dash Center.
I love this story.
I like literally thought I was Honey. I was like, I'm Jessica Alba. This is Honey.
Stop. Not the Senna. Not the Dash Center.
I'm just like at the Senna. I'm like the white girl with the hoops. Not that Jessica Alba's white, but you know what I mean? I was like totally living in that. That was
I
the era of like Save the Last
it
Dance.
It really was. It really was.
Step Up. It really was. Honey. I was just like,
I can't.
And I was obsessed. I literally remember walking into the Dash Center and it was like, like I was like the garage door, the graffiti, the black people. I was like, thank God. Oh my God.
Look at
here. I'm here. I made it. Like, oh please, this is where I want to be. I was so happy. And yeah, I went there for like, I'm talking my ass off too. But anyways, went there to do an internship for grant writing. And I remember I went back to talk to my professor and he was like, oh, how did the meeting go for the grant writing? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be in their show. And he was like, girl, you were not supposed to dance. Like, that was not part of the deal. And I just was obsessed ever since. I met Jimmy and Charles, of course, who I love.
Other hometown gems.
Hometown gems. And then eventually met you.
Yeah.
So then when you went off and started living Isaiah's best life in LA, I auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance one time.
Why didn't I know this?
I was literally staying with you. You know. You drove me to the audition. Farang, you dropped me off at the audition.
Oh, wait, in LA.
In LA.
Okay, wait. I was like, Seattle? Like, girl. Okay, no. Okay.
No, in LA.
Okay, got it.
And I was not, I was not ready.
I remember. I was, like, okay, now I remember.
Ready for that,
I do remember.
But I stayed with you, and I was just like, oh my God, Isaiah is doing it. He's like living the life, like doing the audition grind, like has an agent. I just was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then you went to Asia, or also I remember you called me when you booked Rihanna.
Oh yes. Oh.
And I, at that point, I was like, oh my God, I love Isaiah, but I didn't know if you loved me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I realized that you also felt like really close to me.
Really?
No, really. So I remember you called me and you were like, oh my God, friend, like I can't believe it, but like, I just got called in for the last round for Rihanna. I booked it and I was so honored. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe like he thought to call me.
Oh my God. She's been a friend to me forever. I don't know.
I was so happy. Oh my gosh.
We had the Bum Like You days. Like,
we did have the Bum
and
Like You days.
Also,
we need to just like insert a clip.
Oh my God,
Bum
please.
Like you, like.
We're gonna insert a clip here.
Just right there.
Just right here.
Yeah.
No, but you've always been like a friend to me.
That
so
makes
like
me happy.
Like from Dash to Key Ladies to our times when we would
meet up for food when you come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. I literally considered you like a friend. So that was like really big for me to like tell you.
Oh, I was so excited. And so I had started teaching kids. I taught kids dance. I started in 2008. That's a lie. I started in 2016. What am I talking about? No, I didn't.
I'm like eight years.
2005 is when I started teaching kids. I don't know what I'm talking about.
2005. We're taking off a zero.
In 2005 is when I started teaching kids. What am I talking about? Anyways, so I would, you know, I was teaching kids at this like little studio. There was nobody like for them. I really wanted them to know like you can do this.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to see the next level because there wasn't anybody around. Like they were ballet kids. They weren't like able to see hip hop dancers like doing it in the industry. And so I would play the video of your performance with Rihanna, and we would like analyze it together. Like they'd crowd around, we'd like look at the moments, we'd look at your like choices, for real. And
I didn't know this.
Yeah, like I used it as a teaching tool. And then I would go up to Westlake, which I could only get up to Westlake every once in a while. I would literally take one class from Daniel Cruz, and I was so mind blown that like my curriculum for the next like month and a half with the kids would be based off whatever I learned in Daniel Cruz's class. Like it was just like,
it's that valuable.
It's that valuable. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of like in a way was like self-taught, you know, because I didn't really like even get into the dance studio space until after I had started teaching. Like I was teaching in the, so I started teaching too early, but I was teaching little kids and I was teaching very beginner little kids. And so my dance journey and my training has always been centered around how can I help my students grow? Like where are my areas that I'm lacking? Because if I'm lacking, then my students are lacking.
Right.
So it's always been like teaching myself so that I can teach my students and like gaining that information from people who have been there before me, people who have more experience, and then like helping my students to understand that same thing. Right. And then like, you know, helping them elevate that way.
Right.
So anyways, yeah, fast forward, open the beatbox. That was a whole project and my baby for many, 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 many years. And
literally, yeah. literally from the ground up. Just saying.
And
a little sip on that. But yes.
A little sip, a little drink break there. And then I went to Belltown and then built another community there, you know. And yeah, just started realizing how much I loved building community and really like creating curriculums that help people grow from the ground up. I don't feel like I've ever been the type of choreographer to have like the coolest moves or like the most trendy shit, but I always feel like, and I can say this for both of us, that we're like really intentional about like what kind of skills are we giving our dancers in this absolutely. Class to really help bring them to the next level.
Yeah, well, I will like say, like coming back to Seattle and seeing the community you've built, like, or had built at Belltown, I'm like, this is really cool. Like just your following and just what they were learning and their excitement to like work with you.
The Belltown
and
I was just, days were great.
And I was just like, this is really cool. Cause like, mind you, I had just came back. Like when I was here in Seattle, I was training. I was at Westlake. So I didn't know anything about a community. I was just ready to like train. All the dancers who were there were ready to get to LA or ready to get to New York. And you know, Brian Tanaka and Ivan and just a bunch of those kids who had like, we were all training to go to LA, so there wasn't a community aspect that like I even understood or even thought of. So when I came back to see that type of thing happening,
strong.
I was
like, okay, it was super strong.
This is it. And so I will say, friend, like I learned a lot about building community from you just because and curriculum and programming because I had never, I just didn't think
about it in that way. Yeah.
Even living in Asia, I taught classes. I didn't have a group there. Like The only group I had, I guess, was me choreographing for the club I was choreographing for, but it was, what, six of us? And I wouldn't call them my crew, so to speak, like, I would just do stuff for them. So to see you, like, build something, build curriculum, and have, like, you know, things that people were training in, and then there's, like, not a graduation period, but, like, something that the end they have a value. I'm like, this is really freaking cool.
Yay.
And so that was really inspiring for me to, you know, go into programming and stuff like that, which I think is really, really valuable. You and I think Nat at the time, too, because we had had that.
She was like just, she started Z Theory, I think, in 2019.
Yes. Yes.
Also right before the pandemic. Maybe even early. Actually, I think the first official, I could be wrong, but I think the first official like Z Theory was Big Spender, which was at the 2020 sign of the times. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like early 2020 that they launched it. I remember they had like 1 week or two of the like, okay, come in for the training. They had the journals. They sat down and then it was like weeks later. On. Yeah.
Do you remember us going to that, what was that thing downtown?
Oh, we were going to the Can-Can.
No. Oh. You, me, and Nat, it was like a, was it a business training or it was like a...
Oh, the lawyers, Washington Lawyers for the
Arts. Yes,
yeah. We had
like,
WLA.
Yes, yeah. Okay, yeah. We had just like went there like together and like I think that was like the first time I really had connected with Nat, because right after that is when we went to Pike Place, because I think you had to go. You were teaching.
Yeah, I did.
So Nat and I were like, let's just go to Pike Place.
You guys hung out like the whole afternoon.
Yeah, we went to Piroshki and like just talked, and like that was a really, really cool moment to just like have with her and to just kind of get to know her, like being so back great. In Seattle.
Yeah.
So love you. I'm just obsessed with you.
Love you, but,
Nat. but yeah, like I feel like starting to be around people who were building these types of like programs and value for students was something I really wanted to get into.
Yeah.
And didn't exactly know how, because, you know, you get stuck in between this, like, I'm still entertaining, I'm still like trying to work, but also like, I want to like also help with that. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really nice to see and to kind of understand how you balanced that. And you got me in with Big Fish. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So
she did.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I had then, like, after I'd been dancing a while and kind of just focusing on dance, I started getting more into acting.
Yes.
And then I got represented and started doing more like acting gigs or commercial type gigs around Seattle. And so now being able to have that industry experience to share with people has also been, valuable. I think that this will probably be a different episode when we talk about teaching. Yes. But I really do think that like my approach to teaching came from the fact that I started teaching kids, because if I had an 8-year-old in my class in a hip hop 1 class, I had to make sure that by the next year they were ready for the 10-12 class, or the, you know, 9-11 class that was hip hop 2.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't just teach them combos.
Yeah, there's a responsibility there.
There was a very clear responsibility of like, well, if I don't want my teaching life to suck the next year, where I'm like, why don't you know this? You know what I mean?
Right.
And if I don't want them to be front, like, I have to, like, my responsibility, which this is common sense, but like, in the age of social media and combos and choreography, it's not common sense anymore. And so, like, I really, my focus was always like, what can I teach these kids to get them from point A to point B? So there was this like very strong focus on, they have to learn these fundamentals, they have to understand these concepts so that next year they'll be ready to push this way. And then that way, the next year, they'll be ready to do this. And,
right.
And I had some of these kids from age 6 to 16. So like, I very much saw like how they grew and what skills they still needed and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I always thought that made sense to apply it to adults.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like when I first started offering like training programming that wasn't just a class like Bell Squad, there wasn't a lot of like serious adult do you know what I mean? Like, it was like classes, drop-in classes, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of, I'm not saying it didn't exist, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of, here's how we take you from point A to point B. I know Velocity would do some like series and programs over the summer and stuff, but, and I felt like I would have really loved that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I really was like, what kind of teacher would I have really needed?
Yeah.
And how can I like...
Well, honestly, that, like, seriously, the way you're describing that is the way that I feel like the reason why I even started Zay's Bays and stuff like that was, because I'm like, okay, well, all the stuff I wish I had or needed, or
you had to learn on the fly.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I wish somebody had told me.
Literally, between being here and like going to LA and being hit with a stack of things of like, okay, you're ready to go. And it's like, I don't know. I just don't, I just came here to dance. I didn't know this was all included. So.
Which it is. It's so much more than just being a good dancer.
Oh, God. There's the business like, of it.
The business side that's is another a whole episode. Other thing. Yeah.
But I feel like that is the reasoning as to why we even wanted to start this. Is because we want to talk about...
Filling the gaps
and why we're so passionate about it and what it means to be a beginner at something.
Yeah, so Duke drops his ball. He's like, and
Mike dropped. Thank you, Duke, for that timing.
Did you feel him dreaming?
I did.
Starting to be
he was like in his moment. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What, because sometimes people, you know, I've had people ask, like, what do you mean beginner intermediate?
Right.
Like, what is, those are two different things. Like, am I a beginner? Am I an intermediate? What does it mean when the class is a 1-2? What does it mean when the class is a 2? What does it mean when the class is a 1?
Yeah.
So, to you, what is a beginner? What is an intermediate?
Mm.
And what is a beginner intermediate?
Oh, dear.
Okay. Or maybe just the first two, and then I'll cover the third one.
So, I feel like, okay, there's a couple ways to answer, but I feel like in the most, like, palatable way to answer this, if you are a beginner, you're literally, you don't know anything of, like, the craft. It's just your first time. Say it's your first dance class. You've never danced in a classroom setting. You've danced at home, or you've never had, like, any, like...
That's an absolute beginner.
Absolute beginner. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah. Hi, first dance class. I just kind of danced at home in the shower. Like, I'm just here because I really want to, like, learn how to, like, move my body.
But on their second class, they don't exit the beginner category.
Right. No, you're still, yeah. You're still an absolute beginner.
Yeah.
And then I would say a beginner is somebody who's maybe been in for about 3 or 4 months after that, maybe even more.
Oh, I think you can be a beginner for years.
Well, I mean, in terms of absolute beginner to, like, a beginner. But I mean, like,
absolute beginner to beginner. I agree with you on that.
But
even, those, to me, are two different things.
They are. But even still, as absolute, sometimes it takes, like, I think it's hard for me to remember because I am where I am. But, like, to be a beginner at something, like, a beginner in school, like, just because you are in the first grade for 3 months doesn't mean you've graduated. You have a whole curriculum, a whole year
to
go before it's like, okay, you have mastered first grade, you're on to second grade thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it just kind of depends on the student, but I do believe that there's still a lot to learn as a beginner. I mean, oh God. So, yeah. Okay, so absolute beginner to me is someone who
brand new to the dance studio.
Never danced.
Yeah.
Only dance at home, or maybe not. Like,
maybe not even that.
Yeah. I've had people who are like, I just want to learn how to be a dancer. Okay, absolute beginner. Beginners are, I would say, students who have been dancing and learning how to apply foundations, movement, intention, what it means to do certain things, maybe learning terminology, maybe understanding history, and really trying to, like, just soak all of that up. It doesn't mean that, like, because you know it, you're past beginner. It just means you're gaining this knowledge. You're, like, soaking it in. And to learn, but then to apply are two different things.
Two different things. And that's normal. Like, that takes time.
It does.
You know, like, there's a process of, like, and I have some students who say this too in private lessons. I'll explain something and I'll be like, does that make sense? And they're like, it does here, but I probably won't show it here
right.
yet.
And that's
I'm like,
okay.
That's fine. That's part of the process. Yeah.
It literally is.
You have to, like, build that understanding and that muscle memory. And
I think, that would be kind of like that beginner ground where it's like, okay, you've been to class for a few weeks, you're understanding right, left, you're understanding kind of the basic balance, but now there's, like, more to apply. It's like, okay, how do I, you know, learn how to move? How do I learn about style or learn about, I mean, there's so, again, it can just go on and on as a beginner.
Yeah.
But I think the root of it is just still getting to understand what it means to be a dancer in your own body and learning what that means.
That piece is important. What it means to be a dancer in your own body, I think, is important.
Yeah. Yeah. A beginner intermediate is someone who is understanding their body. They're like, okay, I get this now, but, like, how can I, like, now add a bit of style and let go of the counts and of feeling like I'm thinking all the time? Where do I start to find my flow and feel and also learning patterns and musicality, right? Like, I think that becomes more intermediate. Beginner is more, I think, basic. It's like
1, 2, 3, 4,
and
find the beat.
Learning how to count, learning what an 8 is, learn, like, you know, just real, literally. But, right. learning patterns and what that means and what that looks like. I think beginner intermediate starts to understand that they've been in it a while and now you're ready for more difficult patterns. So now you're getting more into, instead of 5, 6, seven, eight. Maybe you're going five and six and seven and eight. You're learning the different breaks and rhythms. And then that's just with musicality. But now, like, adding in style, and I wouldn't even say textures yet, because I feel like that's more intermediate advanced, I think, because and it depends on the dancer, right?
Depend,
but like, I think just in understanding how, like, some beginners are retaining things, they're understanding, like, you know, they can watch you in class and they can feel like they got it because you're doing it with them. But as soon as you leave, it's like, wait, you're leaving. What do I do?
Right.
What do I do?
There's so, like, that just, like, follow the leader
phase
that happens. Yeah.
Yes. And so I think that's still beginner moving into intermediate, because you're able to follow, but you're not quite able to, like, do it and be successful in it to the way that you feel good. And I feel like beginner intermediate is that sweet spot of, like, being ready to receive more knowledge of how to apply everything that you've been soaking in, the rhythms, the musicality, sometimes even weight shifts. But I don't think it's too technical yet in terms of, like...
Yeah, I agree.
One Iana, two Iana, three Iana, four. Like, I feel like it's very much like...
Like,
you're getting used to style and flow and how things are, and you're like, okay, this is making sense a little bit. So, and then we said beginner, intermediate, and then what was the other one? Or did we only stop there?
Yeah, so, like, we talked about beginner, and then intermediate, and then beginner, intermediate. So we kind of touched on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I touched on, did I touch on intermediate? I think I did.
Well, you said, like, textures gets a little more into it. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know it's very, like, blurred.
It's so nuanced, too. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that's, sometimes people ask questions like, well, how do I know where I fit? And I don't think there's any, like, one person that can be like, boop, you are, like, okay, this is a very niche thing, but, and I only know this because Emmy was, like, learning skiing, and she told me she was at level, like, V1 or something. They, like, literally have categorizations of, like, once you figure this out, then you're at this level. Once you figure this out, then you're at the, it's, like, very structured. Dance doesn't have that.
No, it
and
doesn't.
Everyone's different. Like, you can have somebody who literally walked into dance the first day and they're just naturally really good at picking up choreography. Like, they understand how to do it, but they don't understand the musicality. Like, they can just follow, but they're executing, you know? So I think that's another thing to know is, like, for dancers who are just kind of getting started, like, you are guiding your journey. Like,
literally,
we can help you understand where you fit, what you're missing, like, what kinds of skills you need to get. But at the end of the day, like, you're kind of stewarding your own
No, absolutely.
Journey, you know?
Not to mention, there are, especially depending on the style that you're a beginner in.
Yeah.
Like,
the choreographer.
Or the choreographer.
Like, we have two different styles of movement, yet we teach the same kind of class of choreography sometimes.
Right.
So, yeah.
And not to mention, and this is, like, a real example, if I would probably, not probably, I am considered a beginner if I was to go to take a ballet class. Like, I'm a beginner.
Oh, I'm for sure a beginner.
I'm probably absolute beginner.
I'm probably an absolute beginner,
let's just
too.
Be real. She's an absolute beginner.
Yeah.
And...
even though we're both professional
dancers,
like, we're beginners in that
exactly
style.
And I'm not,
I'm a beginner in afro.
Oh yeah,
like,
I'd be a beginner in contemporary,
beginner in tap,
like,
and not as just being a beginner in everything
other
everything.
Than
what we do.
Literally breaking all of it.
Breaking,
but
for
like
sure.
it's a thing that, like, I'm not gonna just be able to go take that class for 6 weeks, even if there was an intensive ballet program for, you know, advanced dancers or whatever, I'm not gonna feel nearly as accomplished.
Yeah.
You think about it, it's like, let's say it was a 2-hour thing and there are 6 weeks. What is that? 12 hours of training? Girl.
Yeah. Not to mention, I can visually look at, like, how you should hold your arms, but my flexibility, my muscle control, like, that it takes time. And you have to know your body. And I think that is a huge issue that, like, we're experiencing, because I just think we're so disassociated. Like, we're so on our phones. We're so that we're not spending the time to really know our body. And I think if we don't know how those movement patterns feel in your body, you're not going to understand what you're missing and how, like, you're not going to catch the nuances of the movement and the feel until you really explore that on your own time.
Yeah. And on your own time is like key. I think because we have these programs now, right? Like people feel like as long as I'm in the program and I'm good and I finish, like I'm
ready to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is just more focused training for you to be more in depth and intentional about what you're learning. You still have to go practice it. You still have to be in the mirror for hours. I mean,
hours.
I'm going to use this particular student as an example because I just really love his journey. But like RJ.
Oh, yeah.
RJ, like even during pandemic was like, he would post on his stories him trying to do turns at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I told him that too. I was like, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, you're fine.
But I was like, you haven't been dancing that long. And normally I would be like, you're teaching it already. However, one thing I've seen RJ do is put in so much time to developing
so
his own craft.
So much time.
And reaching out to his mentors and being like, hey, I would like to start teaching. What are some tips you can give me? Could you come to my class? Give me some feedback.
Asking,
like, I really want to do a good job.
Yes.
And I think that's been really cool because it shows the commitment that he has to develop.
The commitment to the craft.
Yeah, the commitment to the craft.
And it's very, very, like, that's important because.
I don't really feel we're
going to
go on a tangent.
No, I know. But I'm just going to say it. It's very important because, like I said, he's up,
important.
Doing turns at 3 a.m. and falling out of them, like, nope, I'm gonna do it again. He would go live just to just be there in his apartment, turning. He's like, I'm gonna get this. But that's my point is like, that's the work that you have to put in, whatever style you're learning. You have to take it home. You have
you
to think about it.
Hours.
You gotta sleep on it. You gotta do it in your bed, in your mind. You have to obsess over it. And I feel like that's a hard concept for people because we're in such this
instant
like world, and we're very comparative and hard on ourselves. Like,
and you don't see the work that people put in.
No.
So like sometimes, you know, somebody can look at somebody like RJ. He's going to be like, I did not ask to be featured on this podcast.
Well, hi, you're here. We love you.
But somebody could look at someone like him and be like, well, I've been dancing just as long as him. Why can't, but you might not see the hours that he puts in, or, you know, and same for lots of other people too.
Right.
But I think that also, you know, dance has become such a commodity on TikTok, and not even shade. Like, there's a place for that, I think, but TikTok dancing and like pursuing dance as a professional educator and artist are two very different things.
Exactly.
And even the commercial industry and like the artsy industry, you know, like we talk with Deshaun's side of things and your side of things, like there's lots of nuance to the conversation. So, you know, nothing's ever black and white, but I think that we just forget that you have to, like, if you want to get better, you have to put in the time.
Yeah.
And Niecy would always say too, she'd be like, if you pay $15 for a class, you better put in $30 of effort. Like, make your money back and then some.
Literally.
Don't put in $10 of effort, learn the combo, and never return to it.
Right.
Like, you're just not going to grow as fast as you want to.
Right.
Like, take the time, figure it out, break it down 4 counts at a time, 2 counts at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's okay.
It's good.
It's
I still do that.
Okay to
all
do.
All the time, yeah.
Like, it... I hate practice makes perfect being so cliche, but it's the truth.
Well,
like in terms of just perfecting, like perfection is not, you know, I don't.
Practice makes progress.
Thank you.
Yeah. Practice makes progress.
It's just something that's just really important. And I think that, you know, a lot of people get frustrated in their journey because they want to, you know, they're like, well, okay, I took a beginner program. Now I'm just going to go take an advanced class just to try it. And then you get frustrated when you're not picking up or not learning, or you feel like, well, why am I not getting it? Like, and it's just like, I'm not going to go just because I'm an advanced dancer. I'm not going to go to an advanced tap class and just feel like Cypher would be like.
Cypher's just like, I'm just going to have you go ahead and exit stage.
Right. Because I don't know what you thought you were getting yourself into.
Right.
But this isn't that. Like,
yeah,
there's work and there's
and work that goes into it.
Man,
so much.
There's a lot there.
So many hours of work.
I know, literally. And that is investing time into your training. Like, and you may be one of those beginners or beginner intermediate students who maybe can't afford privates at the time and to invest in your own training. So the best way to do things if you don't have the money is to be at home and practicing it. Mm-hmm. Ask your teacher at the end of the class, just say, hey, can I like get film you getting the combo? I really want to take this home. Like, if you're intentional yeah. with your teacher, they're going to be more like, okay, like, yeah, like, but that's a whole other conversation about just the phones up already yeah. in class. But if you are like at the end of class, like I've had a couple of students do this, which I've really appreciated. They're like, hey, like, can we record you counting it and then doing it? Because we really want to take it home and like mm-hmm. practice it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, sure. Why yeah. not? You have to find ways to really like make it matter for yourself. Like creating that value, being like, okay, I'm going to record this. I'm going to go home. I'm going to practice every mm-hmm. move slowly. I'm yeah. going to figure out, yeah. I'm going to listen to what they were saying in class. You also have to listen in class, people. Sorry.
Open the ears up, dude.
You have to listen. And what I mean by that is like, not just being ahead and trying to get the counts or the style,
yeah.
but really being a student and paying attention, asking questions. Hey, is your weight shifting on the right or the left? Mm-hmm. How do you get into that? I don't know where you're... And sometimes I understand that maybe those are questions that people don't even know to ask.
Like, I think that is part... And I think that does come with that body awareness. Like,
yeah.
understanding that, you know, if the movement goes like that, that it's not that.
Right.
Like,
where's your energy placed? Where's
different than this?
Yes.
And I think some people might be like, what's the difference?
Right.
But again, like that comes with that internal feeling of like, I know this activates with my shoulder, comes up with my elbow, my wrist breaks, and I come up and stop versus just placing it there. That's something totally different. That's like a lever versus like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like they're just two different ways. It's the pathways. And I think knowing your pathways is that like past beginner intermediate, getting into intermediate, like you should be knowing and understanding what that means to like break down those pathways instead of just getting the general picture of what's happening.
Yep.
You know
and,
what I mean?
And I think that is such a good point.
I think that's what brings you into that space.
That is such a good point because I think that is also a huge part of defining your journey in dance on whether you're a beginner, intermediate, mm-hmm. intermediate advanced, mm-hmm. whatever. Like you're not going to be in an advanced class trying to figure out, you're going to already know what's going on. You're going to be able to define that for yourself. You may have a question or two based on weight shifts or how fast things are going, but you're not going to be asking questions or not understanding something. Mm-hmm.
Because you should be able to just know
what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that comes from you training, from you practicing, from you understanding. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's when you also start to kind of, there's a couple different ways of, I guess, knowing when you're going to the next level, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think when it comes to, you know, something like, I don't know, hip hop or jazz funk. But even still, those are still loaded styles.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to
there's
talk
a
about.
Lot in
there's
there.
A lot to
there's
talk
a
about
lot
with,
in there.
With that.
There's a lot in there, guys. Like, seriously, it's hard to just say you are now an intermediate jazz funk dancer because...
Well, okay. Yeah, I have thoughts. Okay, so hip hop is a foundational dance form, right? So hip hop has a base layer of foundation.
Absolutely.
There's a rock, there's a bounce, there's an understanding of the feel, of
the
culture,
groove.
Of the style, the groove. So, but what happens is in hip hop choreography, sometimes we're just like copying the steps, but we're missing like the heart of it. We're missing the intention.
Yeah.
So to me, and those of you who train with me know, intention is like one of my favorite words.
Same.
Because I think, yeah, totally. I think for your home practice, like if you're just pressing play, and I've said this to people, like if you're just pressing play and running the dance over and over, that's not practicing. And they're like, what? It's not? And
yeah.
I'm like, no, because all you're doing is like cementing the same muscle memory. You're not breaking it down and actually, like I said, understanding the pathway. How do I get from point A to point B? What does it feel like? What's the attitude in this move? What sound am I accenting in the music?
Right.
And I don't think we expect anybody to get that as a beginner.
Right.
But to me, a beginner is somebody who needs to start understanding their body and how they move and how it feels, you know, understanding the foundation. So if you're practicing a dance form like hip hop, understanding the bounces, the rocks, the weight change, the grooves, like the feel, the musicality. Jazz funk, on the other hand, is a, I would say, a commercial, a style of commercial choreography. That's what I'm going to say. So there's no, like, sometimes people will be like, I need to work on my jazz funk foundation. And I'm like, what is that?
So jazz classes and
so jazz classes and hip hop classes, like, and maybe musical theater classes. Yeah. And maybe, like, jazz funk is just this kind of like blend of a lot of different styles, which is why in a lot of ways can be a little problematic because there is no like rooted foundation.
For sure.
But I think, you know, I always tell my students, I'm like, if you're taking my jazz funk class and the grooves are really hard for you, like get in a hip hop class.
Right.
If the turns are hard for you, get in a jazz class. But like you have to know what you're getting. And I think that's kind of what we wanted to do with this podcast is like people don't know what they don't know.
They don't know what they don't
know.
And
I think for a lot of dancers, particularly adult dancers who are just starting their journey, like they don't even know that there's more to it than what they see at face value. So they're like, oh, I just take the class and then I learn the choreography and then I should improve.
Right.
And that's not really the case. Like you have to have some intentionality with where you want to go in your dance journey. I want to get better at this. These are the things I want to improve on, and that's going to help me with A, B, and C. And sometimes that means not taking choreography at all.
Right.
Sometimes that means only taking choreography. Sometimes that means taking ballet. Sometimes that means going and taking a house class. Like, but I think, at least I feel like a lot of students are sort of just like floating around, like unsure where to go next, and they're just kind of like throwing their money at like whatever class program seems cool. And then they're frustrated because they're like, I've been dancing for X amount of years and I don't feel like my knowledge has grown.
Right.
And so with, you know, like I said, teaching kids, you're in it September through June. So you know there's like a curriculum that's going to build. With drop-in classes, they're really great. But if you're just popping around to random drop-in classes, you kind of have to set your own curriculum.
For sure.
Right? Like
for
you have to be like, this is my dance schedule and this is why.
Right.
Because the teachers, especially if you're just popping in every once in a while, they're not even going to know you well enough to help guide you. So I feel like that's why mentorship is really important. Like having a relationship with somebody, you know, you can, I'm always a proponent of like take from everybody, like, you know, go out, take classes. Like I'm never the type to be like, these are my students. Yeah.
These are my babies.
My kids. Like, and some people are like that, but I'm not at all. However, I do think there's so much benefit in like knowing that you have a teacher at least that you can be like, hey, like, this is what I want to talk about. This is how, like, these are my goals. How do you think I should get there?
Yeah.
What classes do you recommend?
That is such a great point. I feel like being intentional with your goals. I tell students in privates all the time, I'm like, if you're just learning this and you go to a class, sometimes, like if you're learning how to count, sometimes you have to go to that class to just repeat counts.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there for choreography today.
Yeah.
Like you're like, okay, I'm here in the class. I know I'm not going to get the choreography. That's okay. I'm here to learn how they're counting.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you're repeating, you're going in that class with an intention. Right.
Yeah.
You can't go in there with these, with so many things as a beginner trying to tackle them all, or you're just not going to succeed.
I'm going to be on camera. I'm going to get select. I'm going to apply textures. I'm going to do musicality. I'm going to get the choreo perfect.
Yeah.
Like you can't, it's too much.
You're setting yourself
especially
up.
As a beginner.
You are setting yourself up as a beginner. So
my
advice is always to some of the students, oh, I hope I didn't, sorry, girl, to most of my students who come, thank you. And
I feel like because of your beard, I should move it that way a little bit. Oh, shit.
You can always cut that.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're back. I always say to students who are taking privates with me or who are beginners, I'm like, train in the styles I'm telling you to train in. If you need, especially with like heels classes and stuff, and that's a whole nother conversation because people will jump into a heels class because it's trending right now. not even realizing that it's a drift style of
jazz and technique.
Yeah. And girl, like, and you get in there and you're trying to hold a bevel, honey, and you are floundering and failing, mm-hmm. which is fine. But like, I always explain on the first day of like heels classes to anyone who's first time, I'm like, get into other classes.
Yeah, you're ballet need, you're specifically gonna,
yeah,
for heels.
For
yeah.
sure, girl. Yeah. You're going to need to...
Know how to hold your weight. Honey, know how to hold your position.
Honey, get that releve on.
Get the like, releves.
Girl.
Get those arches strong. Those ankles strong.
There's a lot to it. And, yeah. and it can seem, again, because we live in social media land.
Right.
Where, you know, oh, I can do that. The movement looks very... They make it look so effortless and easy. But you're not realizing... Girl, first of all, they're in pain. They're or they've trained so much to make it look, they understand where things are placed, so it's just easy to...
It looks easy because they've trained to make it look easy. Yeah, like, I think, I just want to touch on that because I think sometimes beginners in particular are looking at advanced dancers and they're like, they make it look so easy, what's wrong with me? Why right. can't I do it like that? And I just, there's so much value in being a beginner. Like, you just have to be patient with the process. Do so, Mike.
You have to be patient with the process. With the process
because it takes time. Okay, I say this all the time. I'm like, do we need to adjust, Duke? I say this all the time. Dance, to me, is not a skill. It's a craft.
Yeah.
Because a skill to me could be like, oh, I learned.
Stretching out there?
Guess a little big stretch. Oh, big stretch, Duke. Bless you.
Oh, bless you.
Okay, well. you know, a skill, like you learn to ride a bike. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you're like, cool, I know how to ride the bike. But dance, you're not like, okay, I learned to dance. I don't know, right?
Right?
Like,
no.
I'm not like, oh, I learned to dance. I still, I'm like, I can dance for sure. But like, it's a process. It's yeah. a craft. It's like you're constantly, it's art.
You have to learn
techniques. You're constantly refining
it. You have
it
to refine. I say the same thing when it comes to painting. Sure, we can all yes. go to a paint and sip.
Yeah.
Pick up a paintbrush and start painting. But girl, if I needed to make like just something, I need to learn the techniques of strokes and different brushes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what it takes to create this. What colors mix to make that gradient. And yeah. all these things. Yeah. Like, it's not just me picking up a paintbrush and saying, okay, I painted a few times. Like, I think I'm
an advanced painter.
Like,
I'm an advanced painter.
I'm an advanced painter, dear God.
Yeah.
A professional painter. But I'm just saying, I even, you know, we joke about, I say the same thing about being a doctor. You're not going to pick up a thermometer and a stethoscope and be like, yeah. you know what?
I'm ready to work.
I know how to take I know how to take a temperature. I can give you a Band-Aid. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Girl, like, it takes time.
It takes time. And that's something, I mean, without going on too much of a tangent, that's something that I feel, especially with adult beginners, that sometimes they're, you know, they might have a career in a totally different industry. Mm-hmm. Like, they might work in tech, they might work in engineering, they might work in the medical field, they might work in whatever, marketing. And to them, maybe it's a hobby. So they're like, you know, like you learn to crochet or you know, go to the gym or whatever. But I just don't, sometimes I feel like people don't realize that it is a whole, like, this is a whole industry, there's a whole craft, there's so much that goes into it. And my hope for students is that you give it the respect that it deserves as a craft. Like, you don't just walk in and master it. It really, it takes so much time. And another thing is that it's art. And I think to be an artist, you have to know yourself to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And what I see with a lot of folks is looking to us to tell, you know what I mean? And I always say, like, we're there to guide you, but like this journey has to be yours. Like, you have to know yourself. And again, we are here to guide you, to teach you, to help educate. But at the end of the day, like, this is your expression, this is your body, this is your connection to the music. And if you're not spending the time to really like figure that out outside of class and being intentional about whether it's just movement exploration or like even, you know, if you don't, you mentioned earlier, okay, I'm going to rewind. You mentioned earlier about like, oh, if you don't have, you know, if you can't afford private, because private lessons are expensive, like that's fair, you know, but if you can't afford that, like, honestly, so much of my journey has been studying videos.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many videos. So watch a video, find dancers that you love, and try to suss out, like, what separates them from everybody else in the group? What do I love about them? Is it their eye contact? Is it their quality of movement? Is it their musicality, the way they sit in a beat longer than everybody else, the way they hold the pocket? Is it that they really have the groove and everybody else is just going through the movement? You know what I mean? And then watch yourself figure out how to recreate that in yourself. Like, there's a lot to be said for osmosis and just like watching and applying, but it does take time.
It does take time.
You know,
I think overall, in terms of, I guess, learning how to be a beginner, because it's like, okay, well, what is the solution through all of these things? I feel like you have to be, just what we've been saying, you have to be intentional with your learning. So when you go to class, it's kind of almost like, okay, maybe if you even ask the teacher in the beginning, like, hey, you know, I'm still a beginner, can you kind of watch me in class and let me know some things I need to work on? And kind of just like, I don't know, I've heard teachers before, even in LA, say, like, you know, if you kind of introduce yourself and go into them and just say, hey, like, I'm new or whatever, like, and you kind of go up to them after class and kind of just ask questions about things, like, what could I be doing, and let them see you to a degree, I feel like you can start to, like, really define, like, hey, I just took your class today, and, like, I, you know, I introduced myself earlier. Like, is there anything you saw in particular? And sometimes it's hard. We don't know.
Yeah, especially if it's a big class.
Yeah, like, we don't know. But at the same time,
but if you introduce yourself ahead of time, if there's time.
If there's time. And that's one solution. But the other is just literally at the end of class, thank the teacher for class, and just say, hey, like, I'm new. I'm a beginner. I'm trying to kind of figure things out. What are some tips or things I can use to take home to practice with? And start to build, like, that relationship with the teacher, that relationship with, like, your journey. So you, maybe you make a plan for yourself and you're like, okay, like, the teacher today talked about counts and musicality and rhythm. Okay.
What are things I didn't understand that I need to look more into?
And then in addition to the class, like, look those things up, like, on your own time.
On your own time.
Like, being like, okay, like, understanding rhythms, like, okay, how do you count to eight? Why are there Annas in between this eight?
Steezy has so many free videos.
Oh, God.
I always send them to students because I'm like, they're free. They're on YouTube. They walk you through how to count. They're actually really well done.
They're great.
Yeah. And I will also say, if you are an advanced dancer and you're coming up and saying that, I'm like, you should know this. Like, as a beginner, I think you don't know what to work on. You know what I mean? You have no idea. You're like, oh, I'm just trying to follow along.
I'm just trying to follow and gather.
I'm just follow, gather what I can follow. So again, like, you don't know what you don't know. But I do sometimes have, like, more intermediate, even advanced students be like, what do you think I can work on? And I think at that level, it's like, you should really be taking the ownership over your journey at this point, that you should know what you know. Yeah. That's my opinion. You might feel differently, but to me,
it depends
it depends
on the dancer. Because sometimes I may have said something and they're still asking, like, well, you weren't even following what I initially told you. Like, you need to work on your textures and your fluidity because you're very one note. So you get the choreography and you get what I'm putting out, but texture-wise or even what I'm trying to say or display in choreography, I just am not feeling anything from that. And that's something that you need to work on. So sometimes, depending on the student or the person who asked me, I will honestly let you know. But I do think that you still need to, you know, be taking your craft and refining it and figuring out what things you need to work on, what things you need to build upon, as I would say an intermediate advanced dancer.
Yeah.
I think as a beginner, intermediate, you don't even know what you don't know to ask. So
totally.
Trying to maybe, I don't know, maybe we should, like, for nothing, come up with, like, some guide.
Well, I think we were looking recently, because Natalia sent it, the BDC, Broadway Dance Center in New York City.
Yes.
Their, like, kind of breakdown. And they have, like, intermediate is, like, 7+ years of dance experience. So I think, like, I have students sometimes who have been dancing for 4 months, and they're, like, frustrated. Like, they're already frustrated. And to me, I'm like, girl, like, take a breather. Like, this takes time. It takes patience. And like anything, you're going to get out of it what you put in. So if all you're doing is taking the class and then going home and forgetting about it until the next time you come, you're really not going to grow that much. Mm-hmm. If all you're doing is taking choreography classes, the thing with choreography classes, and I heard somebody say this recently, I can't remember. I feel like it was maybe like Jessica Castro or something. I can't remember who said it. But
love her.
Yeah, but they were like, if you are only taking choreography classes, there's no baseline to understand where your growth has been. Because your choreography is different. My choreography is different. My choreography might, a level two choreography might really challenge you one day and be really easy the next just because of the movement. It might make more, whatever the combo is might make more sense to you. So there's no like steady baseline to kind of measure your progress. So, but if you're working on foundation, if you're working on understanding grooves, understanding weight changes, listening to music, studying videos of other dancers, like trying to feel it in your body, if you're practicing your freestyle, like all of that is going to help equip you so that when you get into a choreography class, it makes more sense. But if you're not doing any of that and you're just bouncing around choreography classes, in my opinion, and we're both choreography dancers, like and teachers, like that's kind of both of our bread and butter is choreography. And I love choreography. So this is no shade on it, but I also am somebody who did primarily choreography and couldn't figure out at first, like what I was missing until I went back and was like, oh, the foundation, you know?
Yeah. And not to mention like as advanced dancers or even pro dancers, there's nothing wrong with going back to a beginner class, going back to home base. I love
taking beginner classes.
I think it's, I mean, I always say I am forever a student. Like
always,
you're not in a situation where it's like, okay, well, I'm this and I'm just that. Like you can always go back and learn something. You can always go back and refresh something, right? Like I think it's just important to not put such, I don't know, this like timeline of like, okay, I gotta be intermediate. And like, I mean, it's a great goal. You can make goals for yourself, but you have to also be realistic and also take the time to get there. Like,
yeah,
I would, you know, I don't even know how to word that in a way where
I used to, from my multi-level days, if I had still had more drink, I'd take a drink there. Anyways, we used to say slow down, grow faster.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really valid. Like, I think sometimes people are trying to speed up and skip steps. And psychologically, and I say this because I started dancing a little bit later in life than some folks, is I think that happens as adults because we feel like we're already too far behind.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, I have to catch up. Like, I'm already an adult. I've missed so much. Yeah. And so we start trying to like cram and trying to do all this, you know.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't benefit you.
At all.
Like, you're just skipping the steps isn't going to help. So like, just be patient with the process. Get into your foundation. Slow down.
Yeah.
Grow faster. Like, you don't, there's no timeline.
There isn't.
What's her name? Kim Hale. Do you know who that is?
No.
She's 50-ish. She's got short gray hair.
In New York right now?
She just moved.
Yes. She's in
her 50s.
Oh, she's
everything.
She like
came back to dancing as an adult, was dancing in LA for a long time. She just moved to New York.
Yep.
To do Broadway.
Yeah.
In her 50s. And you know what? There's a lot less competition for people with gray hair who can absolutely get down.
Right.
There's like not a lot of folks.
Right.
And there's actually a lot of work available for that kind of a role. Yeah. So I just feel like people are trying to cram it in. And I say that because I felt that way at one point. I was like, oh my God, I'm already, you know, whatever it was, 27. Like, I'm so old. Ah. But you know, what's meant for you is meant for you. And I really think that like whatever your journey is, you're not going to benefit yourself by trying to skip steps and trying to like rush the process.
Yeah. I also think you have to remember your why and be intentional about your passion and your love for the craft. You can't just jump into this
thing. Can't do it just for the like.
And be like, you know what? I'm trying to get, you know, my likes up, my Instagram followers up. I'm just going to jump into a few dance classes.
It will show.
Girl, you got to love
your quality.
You have to love what you do. And when you are embedded in that, you will take the time you need to like get the craft down, ask the questions you need to practice, to train, to fail, to recover from that fail and get better. And I'm just, girl, when I...
The failing, that's a whole...
Girl.
You gotta be used to failing.
I have videos in the depths of YouTube that may not ever see the light of day.
We'll link them below.
Link below.
Click the link right here.
Of, like, just classes I've taken and have just completely been like, damn it. Especially in Seattle, training with Daniel.
Oh my God, I've gone up in flames so many times. More times than I can possibly count.
Flames, honey.
Flames. Blacked out. Forgot the choreo. Tripped. Falling.
Dancing like this to the ground. Daniel's like,
yeah.
Why is your audience down there?
That's so Daniel.
He's like, who's down there?
Who's there?
And I was like, oh. Like,
yeah.
But learning, that was, if you want, like, my journey of becoming a better dancer, I used to always look down. It would literally be just right here. Mm-hmm. I'd have the movement to a degree, but, like, no just intention. Just,
no okay, intention.
Right, left. Up and down. Mm-hmm. Until teacher, Daniel specifically, was like, who's down there? And why are you dancing down there? And then I had to learn how to dance out. And when I danced out, it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because I think I never got used to looking at myself.
Because you have to see yourself.
You have to see yourself. And like, when I looked, I was like, oh God, I'm doing this all wrong. I'm doing this all wrong.
Because you looked up and you were like, oh. Yeah, one time Daniel was like, how do you think you're gonna know if you're like getting it if you're not looking at yourself? And I was like, I can feel it. He was like, can you, girl? And I was like, no.
Oh my God. It's so true. And yeah, it took a while for me to get used to. I also used to dance in the box a lot. I would be right here. Right
my God.
Here. Right.
Every video of me before
here.
Even like 2017, girl. 18, I was like, my elbows were glued
literally
into my side.
Right
I was like,
here.
Right here.
So like,
just doing all the choreo. And I was like performing too. And I was like,
just
full
in it.
Out, just right here.
And it would just, it's, you know, like it, I had to practice. I had to freestyle and go home and do
get
routines,
to know your body.
Do routines over and over again.
Yeah.
What feels good in my body? What am I able to do? What do I need to work on?
Yeah.
Like, I was also very intentional about asking questions in LA. For real. Because I was like,
oh. I'm like, not my socks. Just oh, this look is not cute. Okay.
No, but I was intentional about asking questions. And you know, oh God, I don't know how to say this, but like, I hate when teachers say they don't like questions. And and I get it to a degree.
Justin's gonna watch this and be like, bitch, he's talking about me.
I'm not talking about you, friend. No, it's more of like, I'm asking questions because I just literally can't see. It's not that I don't know what's going on. It's that I'm in LA in a class of 50 and I'm back here and I'm like, okay, you're moving, they're teaching you quick. Of course. And you're like, okay, but did you swerve right? And it's like, why are you asking? Can you just watch it? And it's like, well, yeah, I could watch it, but I'm watching everyone else watch you. And some other people may be off. So I just want to like beat that and get to the root of it. Are you going right or left? Like, that's literally why I ask questions. And so,
I have thoughts on that.
A lot of times it's just, I don't know. I've gotten, and I think over time I just got used to how to take class. And just figured out my angles, figured out where to stand, figured out what I needed to do. But again, that comes with being an advanced dancer.
That's intermediate and advanced.
Learning how to
You're
be.
You're not expected to know that.
No,
as a beginner. Yeah.
As a beginner, you don't know that at all. So I just say that to say like, there are many stages and phases to becoming like that type of dancer.
Yeah.
So just like be patient with yourself in the process. And I think being a beginner is fun. Like,
I love being a beginner. There's no pressure.
There's no pressure.
Oh my God. I tell everybody I'm a beginner at golfer and I don't know if I still am, but I'm like, I'm not trying to be like, I'm advanced.
Yeah, girl.
Because then they're going to be like, girl, no, you're not.
Yeah, girl. Oh, you know what? Oh, girl. Cause like, we have not gone bowling yet, and purposely I have not gone bowling because you guys know.
No, I don't. I can't bowl or shit. I don't know how to bowl.
Matt is. We are wasting
really
our time.
Good. Yeah.
You need to like. I need like the kitty like dinosaur.
Yeah, I do too. With the bumpers
and
where you
roll
just push it.
It
down. Yeah.
Cause girl, but I'm a beginner bowler. But I'm not gonna go in there just because I've gotten a strike 3 times in my life. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I think I'm ready.
I think I'm ready to move. Yeah, and that's consistency, right? Like consistency with training.
That too.
I also, I do want to touch on the questions because I think that for me, I don't mind questions as long as they're smart questions. And you know how people are like, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I disagree. I'm sorry. I do disagree. Because if it is a question, is this your right or your left? Well, if you watch one time,
right,
you'll know which one it's not,
right,
or it is. So, right. So this is my personal rule. Again, keep in mind, I'm not a beginner general, you know, I'm not a beginner choreography dancer. But just for people to kind of look forward and think of how, this is my rule for a question. A question pops up in my head. I watch it and I try to figure it out.
Sure.
So, and sometimes that means I literally need to not do it one time and just watch to answer my question because it's my class, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I paid for the class. So if I need to just be like, hold on a second, let me get that. Like, I don't have to feel pressured to move at the pace you're moving mm-hmm. at. If I need to step out for a second and be like, okay. And then if I'm like, I'm still not getting it, mm-hmm. right? Then I'm still going to wait a little bit. Because sometimes I'll figure it out if a little more time goes by. If I'm like, man, I can't figure this out. I can't make a smart choice, right, on my mm-hmm. own. Because mm-hmm. sometimes this is an advanced dancer thing. But like, make a choice.
A choice.
Make a smart choice. I don't know exactly what this is, but this is what I'm going to do. And if the choreographer hates it, they can tell me.
Yep.
But if I can't figure it out, I can't make a good choice, and it's still fucking me up from mm-hmm. like getting the movement, mm-hmm. like it's holding me back, mm-hmm. then I'm going to ask a question. Mm-hmm. So to me, like I've had sometimes people, the second it pops into their head, like I just demonstrated right. it for the very
That's
first
fair.
Time.
That's
I'm like,
fair.
1, 2, 3, and 4. Is that, do you start the one with your, you know,
right.
it's like,
okay.
Hold on.
Okay, I get that.
Take a breather.
I get that because like, it's like, girl, we're going to be doing this over and over and over. Like,
and trust that I'm going to teach you. I am going to teach you. Like, right. I'm a teacher and I will bring you through so you can.
Right.
But if you're like, man, I really still can't get it. And that's, I think, where the self-awareness comes in and also the autonomy over your own journey. Like, again, like as... You know what I also like that I think Migs and Niecy did is in their classes a while ago, they advertised it with the level of hand holding.
Mm.
Isn't that funny?
Brilliant.
And it had like multiple hands, like three hands or just two hands
Brilliant.
Or one hand.
Brilliant.
And for their beginner class, it was like level of hand holding and it was like three hands. And for their like more advanced class, it was like level of hand holding, no hands.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. that's kind of, I think, how we can look at it is yeah. like, again, when you're a beginner, you don't know what you don't know. But I do think we have a responsibility as when we teach beginners to help you to understand some of this.
Right.
And that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't, it's hard to cover all of this in a class.
It really is.
So this is like the purpose of this, I think, is to give folks an opportunity to like think about the mindset and think about what kinds of other things besides just catching up with the steps
yeah.
that they kind of need to be thinking about as they go through their journey mm-hmm. and know that like, you know, we're going to explain, okay. And then here's a kickball change. And this is how you do a kickball change mm-hmm. in a beginner class. Mm-hmm. In an intermediate class, I'm not going to explain how to do a kickball change mm-hmm. because that's a very basic step, mm-hmm. right? For choreography generally. Mm-hmm. In an advanced class, it might even be a more complex groove or more complex footwork, and we're not going to break that down at all. Because
right.
again, like at that level, you should be expected to kind of have the foundation, have the understanding of your body that you know how to pick that up.
Sure.
So to me, I just really like the like, it depends on how much hand holding you need.
Literally. And I like what you said about, you know, making choices, because that's another definitive like thing, I guess, to separate
intermediate to advanced.
Yeah. Because I know
that'll
that's also right. That's the next one. Oh my God. I know that's a stress struggling yeah. subject matter as well, but it,
right.
it's literally
like, how do I know I'm making a good choice and not just changing the choreo?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what are choices, right? Like
yeah.
if I give you a stance to hold, like, and I say, okay, you can have whatever stance you want and you don't know how to, or if there's like a pause in between choreography and you need to pause in a different way and you don't know how to hit it quick and come back, it's like, what is that? So anyway, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah,
so, so I think just to like bring her home.
Yeah, let's bring her home. What are we going to do in this workshop?
What are we doing in this workshop? So I think for me anyway, I think what I would love to do in this workshop
yeah.
is to really focus on, I always talk about building relationship with music and, mm-hmm. and making movement be more understood with the music. So like, connecting musicality with movement. So being like, okay, do you hear the we're gonna go and like really like make things start to make sense. You can listen to music deeper and understand movement more. And I mean, that's, you know, a little advanced, I guess. But I mean, in terms of where I want to go, even if it's just like a basic pattern, I want to really define what it means to like marry the musicality and movement together, and also work on a performance factor with that. Because when you have an understanding of that, you can begin to take it out of counts and take it out of the science, and you can really
one, two, three, four, and one, and two.
You can have more intention behind it because you've done it so many times. I'm always telling students, like, if you've done it enough times, this little pattern to where you're literally bored, change up how you're doing it.
Yeah.
And play with it, because now your body naturally knows it. So you shouldn't be, you still shouldn't be going 1, 2, 3, 4. And we've done that half the class. By like the middle of the class, you should already know you're going right to left. So now you can have a little more right, left, instead
of take it out of your brain and put it in your body.
Yeah. Instead of going right, left. So those are things that I want to like focus on during this, is really making, helping beginners to feel more confident in what they're learning and how to apply those things, so they can start to build that like performance factor a bit, even with basic movement. You know, nothing too complicated, because we're building, right? So giving the, you know, the easy movements that you can build upon and build your confidence with, so that you can start to enjoy your process and have more fun with it.
Yeah, you know? Have fun with it and not be stressed.
We are
as
missing
a beginner.
The fun.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fun.
Oh my gosh, I was talking with somebody recently. I was like, do you have any dreams, thoughts, hopes, visuals of becoming any kind of a professional in dance? And they were like, no, oh my God, not at all. Like, I'm just doing this for fun. I was like, then why are you so stressed out?
Why are you stressed?
Oh my God, like, it's not that serious. The stakes are low. The stakes are low. And I say that in that, hold the, hold some respect for the craft, but also know, like, it's just dance. It's not that serious.
It's
like, just have a good time, which I know is easier said than done, because I'm an anxious mess. Well, Lexapro girly right here. So I get it. I get the anxiety. But I think what I really want to touch on in the class, and it, like, definitely everything you said, 100% agree. I also really want to help people understand what movement feels like in their body. I've noticed that, again, with a lot of adult beginners in particular, we kind of move through life very linear, right? Like, we sit at our computer, we type, somebody says our name, we turn around like this. Like, we're not like...
Right. Ew.
I'm not like... Yeah, Isaiah?
So, how many pumps of syrup was that? Three.
Just logging onto the Zoom right now. Like, yeah, like, you're just not moving your body in that way. And so I really think that there's, I think sometimes we forget, and this maybe comes from my like strength training background too. Sometimes we forget that like dances are artistic, yes, and also athletic. So you can't just like stand in your regular pedestrian stance.
Yeah.
And dance.
Yeah.
You have to like feel your body in a different way. You have to open your armpits, Daniel Cruz-ism. Open your armpits. You have to take up space. You have to engage your muscles, right? Yeah. If you're, this was a big eye-opening thing for me, is I realized like I wasn't dancing the way I wanted to because I physically could not.
Yeah.
I didn't have the strength or the mobility to engage into my back in the way that I really wanted to. So then I was like, oh, and I started intentionally building muscle in my back so that I could hold my shoulders back and present more out so that I wasn't just right here, you know, but I could be here and I could use all of this space. So I would really like to touch on that, like helping people to understand what it feels like to just explore your own movement, what movement feels like in your body, how to engage your muscles, how to approach it in an athletic way. You know what I mean? And then, I think pathways maybe is another thing to...
Pathways and energy placement. Like, I think a lot of times, like we were saying earlier, like, just because we go here, or instead of it being here, a lot of people are like, oh, they're just going up. And you're not understanding
how it goes up.
And I even
and
talk
what
about,
that feels like.
Yeah, and I even talk about, like, in heels classes, like, the wrist activation a bit. Because a lot of times when we're when I'm doing things, I'm, like, breathing through my wrists and giving them action, as opposed to going... Mm-hmm. Yes, you're following me, but you're not following me. You know what I mean? Like, you're going with what I'm doing, but you're not doing what I'm doing. So really talking about energy placement, talking about where your stops are. A lot of times people will stop like this, and I'm like, no, it's out. And they're like, got it. And you're like,
because that's punching down, not out.
You're punching down. You're not punching out. Yeah. So I want to also,
I love that,
along with you, touch on, I don't know if it's intentionality or energy or both, but like, it's just, or pathways. It could be all of it mixed, but it's just really defining that and figuring that out, you know, in the most basic way possible, so you can start to connect that for yourself. Because when you do become intermediate and advanced, like, you're going to have so many of those thrown at you in so many different ways because of style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone's choreography style is different.
Is different. But as long as you can kind of like understand or even watch to get the pathway or get where their energy's stopping. And, you know, in dance, a lot of things are repeated, even though we have different things that we do. I'm sure you have stopped before in your dances. We've all stopped.
We all have hit a tour pose. We've probably done this kind of a vibe.
We've done a little elbow thing. But as long as you're like, oh, that's familiar. I understand. I understand what's happening here. Yeah. Like, those are things I think that can really, really help your growth as a beginner, because now you have, you know, okay, they mean stop. If you get nothing else in class but that damn stop, like, you're good. You know what
the
I mean?
Energy placement.
It's energy placement, because
sometimes I say know where your power is coming from know where your energy is going.
Yes.
So for example, like if we take, just an arm movement. Like if I go like that, the power came from my shoulder and it stopped. The energy didn't leave my fingers. Yeah. I went, whoom, and it stopped. But if I go like that, the power came from here and it left. Right. It left my hand, right? And so if you can think about like, about where that power, like where is it activating? Does it come from your back, your hips, your core, your whatever? And then does it go or does it stop? Or does it stay kind of internal and it really never even gets there? You know what I mean? Like, and that is, you don't get that right away. Like, you don't do that in your regular life. No. Before you're like a dancer, like, you don't think about that kind of stuff very often. Maybe if you do like Tai Chi and, and martial arts, I would say like you think about that like tension and the energy placement and moving. But generally people don't. So that takes some time. And that's where I think you come into like that more intermediate space is like, not just like you said, you're following along, but you're not doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Like, that's where you kind of get past like just copying pictures.
Right.
And really starting to understand like what this feels like in my body. And to me, that's like where you build that your own personal connection with dance, which is important because dance can be a rough journey sometimes.
And that's what I think takes you from absolute beginner or even beginner to that journey of intermediate, because, you know, I can be following you and feel good. Oh yeah, like he's going right, I'm going right, then left and left. Oh yeah, I got this. But literally I'm going, I'm doing something else, and you're just kind of going and you're like, okay. Absolute beginner, because you're at least learning how to follow. You're learning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, you're learning.
Yeah,
that. Okay.
Which is important.
Which is important. Super but now important. Taking it up a notch, it's like, okay, well, how is he getting to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? And how do I, where do I find that energy placement? And how can I practice that? And even if you do ask the question, you still have to practice it. It's got to feel good to you. It's got to make sense for you.
Yeah, it has to make sense to you.
And, you know, and it takes time. So I think in this workshop, this is really what we want to touch on with this, and and you know, I'm sure we'll have a lot more in terms of like mirror exercises and learning how to be
eye contact
with yourself and eye contact. And it's a lot, you guys. It's a lot to learn.
It's a lot.
You know, but
you're not gonna master it in one workshop.
No, you're not. But I want you to understand that like we are literally doing this because it's important to us that you guys don't feel frustrated about your journey of where you should be placed. You can take ownership of it and be like, you know what? I'm going to take time to like really get this. And maybe you need privates. Maybe you need to practice it more on your own. Maybe you need the Steezy videos. I mean, whatever resources
you
can.
Maybe you need our podcast.
Right. Or that. Or that. But whatever it is, you can really be intentional about like, okay, like I'm going to take this and apply this. And again, like, just a like last little note to say it again, like as a beginner or beginner intermediate, when you go into classes, like figure out what you want to accomplish that day in class. Mm-hmm. If you're like, okay, I've really been working on my textures. I'm going to go in today and just completely focus on textures. Even if the choreography is like, you're not grabbing it, but you're grabbing some of the textures, mm-hmm. you're at least getting what you want out of it because you went there for that reason.
With an intention.
With an intention. Yeah, if you're totally. There to then now be like, okay, I've got the textures. Now I want to learn how to pick up choreography faster. Mm-hmm. Your focus should be straight on like, okay, 1, 2, 3, and you're like really focused in on trying to get choreography.
Yeah.
Like, break it down for yourself so you're not trying to go in there like, I'm going to kill this, I'm going to nail this because I love Isaiah style, I love Kristen style. Like,
trying to be perfect.
Like, oh, girl, you can't. You can't.
Because I have folks sometimes being like, oh, when we did it in groups, I messed up. And I'm like, yeah, I almost always mess up something. Like, and they're like, but I couldn't tell. Well, right, because I'm past the point where I'm going to go,
right, right.
I'm going to play it off like I have experience and, you know, skill and I've worked on recovery, which is a more intermediate advanced topic, right? But like, I know how to recover without showing that I messed up. And so, but I think sometimes, and if you really study videos, like I'll study videos and watch, and it'll take me like 5 times to watch a video to then realize, oh my God, the person in the middle messed up.
Right.
From like professional level videos from right. LA or New York or right. something. Oh, good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, big yawn.
Are we keeping you up?
Big yawn.
So anyways, yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times people go into the class being like, I want to get this choreo perfectly. And when they don't get it perfect, they're mad at themselves. And they're like, man, I didn't do a good job. And it's like, I would say even as an advanced professional dancer, that should never be your focus. And we have like absolute beginners going into classes feeling like I need to get this perfect or else I didn't do a good job.
Exactly.
And that makes me sad because then people are getting frustrated, they're stressed, they're putting all this completely unnecessary pressure on themselves to perform at a professional level when they're absolute beginners.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of empowerment that can happen from identifying as like, oh, I'm just a beginner. I'm beginner intermediate. Like, there's a lot of positive that can come from that, you know, and not putting any pressure on yourself to move up and also understanding, I know we're wrapping up, but I also want to say this because everybody comes from different movement backgrounds, right? So like I started dancing and I was not great right away, but it did come pretty naturally to me because I had played sports my entire life. Like, and I had been a musician and my whole family is musical, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I came from a background of really understanding music and I was a singer and I understood performance because I was obsessed with performance. And then I was athletic. So the coordination made sense to me. But then you have folks who have never played, maybe never played sports, never danced. Like they did, you know, more indoor activities or they were more like focused on tech and that kind of stuff, like growing up. And so it's really just, again, body awareness. Like people come in with different, and I see that in the gym too, coaching, right? Some people can come in, have never lifted in their life, and they like watch you and they're like, oh, okay, I understand the form. And then you have other folks where you're explaining it to them over and over and over and over, and they're still like, I don't really, like, how do you, what? Your elbow goes out and then, you know what I mean? And so I think, again, like you mentioned comparison, like you can't get too into the comparison game because everybody is starting from a different place.
Exactly.
And you don't really know what they have going into it. Like, yeah, you and me might start a beginner class together, but like you're probably going to pick up Afro a lot quicker than I am. You know what I mean? Like we started that journey together, you know, like we have different cultural backgrounds. We have different movement expressions. We have different just familiarity. So I think that even if you and someone else start at the same time, like they might come in with a different background.
That's so important to
recognize. So just acknowledging that.
Like, and acknowledge.
You don't all have to move at the same pace.
Be patient with the process and be proud of your progress.
Yeah, be proud of yourself.
You have to be proud of yourself. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
Like, you've got to, like, I always, and I've been saying this lately too, like, you need to be kind to yourself and be like, you know what, this was a lot for me today, but you made it through and you're doing well. And then, like, if you need that reminder, look at your first videos until now.
Yeah.
And how far you've come along.
How far you've come. Oh my gosh.
Honey, if you really want to know, I do that all the time. to this day.
Same. I do too.
Like,
I'm always like, look how much better I am.
To this day.
Than I used to be.
To this day. Yeah, I kid I do you too. Not. Like,
yeah.
It's a reminder. It's also like a, okay, Isaiah, like you're doing much better.
Aww. That.
Even as a choreographer or creative, yeah, I mean, you know, and we have our own, like, girl.
Yeah, that's a whole other.
That's a whole other layer of things.
That's another podcast. We want an actual choreographer,
but
and working in the industry.
Listen, yeah. But we wanted to do this for you guys because we are really passionate about this and feel that this space has not been tackled in the way that we, you know, have wanted to, I guess, attack it together. I mean, we've had beginner programs and stuff.
We've both kind of done it on our own, but yeah. This is just kind of a fun opportunity to, to come together and like really give students a chance to dive in. And again, we're going to feel like it flew by. We're going to be like, oh my God, there's so much we didn't cover. And again, that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
To kind of, it's like supplemental. And
So, but we love you guys, and we're excited to see you and be with you and help you on your journey. We want to continue to do this. And please like, I mean, I know at least with us too.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and please like and subscribe. I was like, come on, bitch.
Almost. I was almost there.
Okay.
No, but I was, that's funny. No, I was going to say, like, you can totally, I feel like we're both in a space where, like, if you want to message us or you want to, like, contact us, we're easily accessible in terms of, like,
I'm very booked.
Like,
I'm just kidding. Right. I'm very booked. I cannot be reached.
No, but I mean, like, really, like, after this, like,
yeah,
reach out and, like, ask questions and stuff like that, and we can try our best to guide you, you know what I mean? And privates are available, again, knowing they're pricey, but I mean, it's just,
but I do, I don't know if you've like publicly made this available, but I started making mentorship available as like on a Zoom call.
Oh.
So like if people are like, I can't afford a private, but like I need some guidance.
Well, I have a consultation.
Okay, of course, consultation. Yeah, so like that kind of thing. But but like you can book time to just talk and like get advice. And I'll even like look at your videos and be like, okay, here are some things that I think you can. So there's ways to do it.
That's a great.
You know,
I don't think I think I've offered it in terms of like if you need, you know, advice or help, but I haven't advertised it in that way or delved into it in that way. But I'm the same. If you want like, hey, can you just kind of look at this and you've seen me maybe in class or whatever, like what can I do? Like those are always things you can do too. Like, I love that friend.
Yeah. You know, well, because again, like I really, first of all, the amount of hours that I've spent on the phone with you, with Natalia, with Nisi, the amount of, not so much on the phone with Daniel, but like in person, like drinks, talking about things, lessons, like there's just so much value in having a mentor and
it really is.
You know, sometimes I see people who are just like going out on their own and that's fine. Like not to say you have to have a mentor, but I see folks making a lot of choices that I'm like, ooh, I wish I would have had somebody to tell me not to make that choice when I was younger, or at least helped, you know, so that you don't feel like it's you against the world. Like, there's teachers who really support you and want to help you in your journey, you know, and a lot of times we just don't know that's what you need or that's what you want. So, like, reaching out individually and being like, hey, I would really like some guidance. Like, to me, I'm always like, yes.
Seriously.
So excited to hear that because that tells me, again, that you're feeling empowered to take ownership of your own journey and you're looking for guidance to like how to make those choices and where to go next. And I love it.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, now you can like,
now comment. Like subscribe. How do people find you, Isaiah?
Oh my goodness.
If they want to follow you.
If they
and
want
your work.
To follow me and my work, you can follow me at Isaiah Rashad with two A's, R-A-S-H-A-A-D 1. Not the rapper, because there is a rapper named Isaiah Rashad.
How dare he?
I know. I get tagged into stuff all the time, but I'm going to do a song of his one of these days so people can like
have
a
should.
Frenzy with tagging us both.
Yeah.
But just to reiterate, Isaiah Rashad with two A's, one, or Zayes_Baes, B-A-E-S, on Instagram. You can find me there, all that stuff. You can get linked to everything I have going on. Mm-hmm. What about you, friends?
So you can follow me at Kristen Grace Dance, all one word, K-R-I-S-T-E-N. And you can also follow my training program, KGDP_. And also new Muse Moves, which is muse.moves, which is kind of my more advanced pre-professional, professional training. It's kind of still developing, so I haven't really talked about it much, but the big thing that's coming up for me that I want to share that I'm hoping you will be featured in is my show. So producing another show at Jazz Bones on May 18th, mm-hmm. and it's going to feature a lot of incredible local talent, including Zay's Face, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, say you're going to do my show.
You're gonna
tell me you're going to do my show. So that's what's coming up yes. for me that I'm excited about. What's coming up for you in this next week that you're very excited about?
Oh,
I don't know that we'll release
my
this
goodness,
by
right.
this weekend,
well,
but if, we might as well throw it in just
Well,
in case.
We'll just throw it in. I am hosting for the first time ever at Fusion PDX in Portland.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
Zay's Face has performed in Fusion, I think, three or four times.
Yeah.
And I was asked from the director, Durante Lambert, if I would come and host. And it's also like birthday month. Like, it's just so many things aligning. But I'll be doing that this weekend. And we just started my professional training, pre-professional training program, Zay's Base, 2 weeks ago. So we're in week two. That is a once-a-year thing, but just follow us, be on the lookout. There'll be pop-up classes, stuff like that coming up. So, yeah.
Oh, my God, yay.
And Duke, where can we follow
Duke,
you?
Duke, you gotta wake up and say hi to the camera. You're such a sleepy boy today. He's such a sleepy boy.
Duke says, please like, comment, and subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe. Yay.
Tag and tell your friends.
Tag, tell your friends. Also, I think our workshop is sold out, but
yeah, I forgot to say that,
but we will have more
yes,
in the future
for sure.
Also let us know what else you'd like to see from
yes,
us.
Yes, please let us know. This is our first time doing this, but
we have lots of ideas.
We have lots of ideas, but we want to, where's that word again? Intentionally make sure that yeah. we are focusing on your questions, your needs, your asks.
Your wants, your desires.
All that, everything. Your wants, your needs, your desires.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, okay.
Duke's desire is for us to throw this ball. So we're going to go.
All Duke wants is to play with the ball. Thanks again, Matt.
Yes. Thank you, Matt, for helping us because you guys have no idea.
Oh my God. It took
the
us
journey.
So long
it
to get this
to get
damn
here.
Audio figured out and the lighting. Every time we did the lighting, I looked bright pink.
Right.
It was just a hot mess.
We didn't know what was going on.
Being white.
So, anywho, we're going to go.
Okay.
But
mwah,
we love you guys. Yay,
love
we did it.
You. We did it.
We did it.
Finally.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too.
And love you too. Dude.
Oh, Duke. Oh,
yes.
Oh my God.
Bye, guys.
Duke's gonna be the star of this, I can already.